Thank you, Susan. I think we did pretty well without our usual worship leader. And the first thing I'm going to tell Gary when he gets back from Ireland is that you had trouble calling him our normal worship leader. But I think we all understand. Thank you, Susan, Mark, Tim. Appreciate you guys. Whew, well, let's see if I got anything left in the tank this weekend. It has been a big and eventful weekend, and so the first thing I want to do this morning is to thank this church just for taking such good care of myself and our family these last 2 weeks following Mom's passing, especially Friday for the memorial service. And the reception at our house, we do not have enough refrigerator space to keep all the food. We're sending it back with kids and relatives and all that kind of thing, and we are stacked to the gills. So we appreciate that. It is such a blessing, and what a blessing it is to be part of just a beautiful body of Christ. It is invaluable, and we are so thankful for the calls, for the emails, for the texts. I don't know, those of you who were at the house Friday after the service, I don't know if you saw all the cards. We had the cards, you know, just everywhere sitting up in the den, and it's just amazing. We appreciate that. Words of comfort, words of encouragement to us. Being on the receiving end of ministry as a different place for me to be. But what a pleasant reminder of what an amazing group of people God has allowed me to pastor. Y'all ready to jump back into the series? Okay. All right. Well, we took a break over Mother's Day and a break for VBS Sunday, if you'll remember, from our Heart Check series. And yes, if you hadn't been here in a month and a half, we're still in 1 John. Okay. I know it's just 5 chapters, and Kim couldn't be here this morning. We're working out some logistics to get Caleb to the airport and back to Fort Leonard Wood. But this morning before I left, she said, "I'm praying for you." She said, "What are you preaching this morning?" I said, "You know, I'm back in the Heart Check series." And she looked at me and she said, "Are you still in 1 John?" I said, "Yes, honey. We got 2 more weeks of that." So we'll wrap up this series next Sunday. July 9th. But I hope that it's been a blessing to those of you who have been here for it. I know it's been a blessing for me just to go deep in this book and study and to teach it to you. So if you would, turn with me to 1 John chapter 5 this morning. Again, not the Gospel of John, but 1 John. So you want to go to Revelation, the very last book of the Bible. Take a left and go 4 blocks and you'll be at 1 John. So 1 John chapter 5, that is the last chapter of this book, and we will be camping here for a little while today and then closing things out again next Sunday. I hope this series has caused you to evaluate your walk with Christ. That has been really the purpose of it, and that was really the purpose of John originally writing this letters to a multitude of churches that he oversaw in the area of Asia Minor. I hope, though, it has helped you to evaluate the teaching that you hear, not just in this church, but especially the teaching you hear when you're not in this church. And I hope that it has helped you evaluate your relationship, not only with Jesus, but your relationship with his church, because that is a big focus of what John has been conveying to those who were still with him at this point. Remember, so many had left his church to follow false teachers, and he is writing this letter to really just convey truth and to convey the essentials of the gospel and what it truly means, the essence of following Jesus Christ. And as we move into chapter 5, as he has been doing throughout, remember John is probably in his 90s at this point. He's the last man standing when it comes to the apostles. All the other apostles have been martyred at this point. And so he's just telling it like it is. The last man to walk and talk and laugh and be part of the miracles that Jesus performed on this earth. Imagine the authority that he had at this particular time in the first century, being the last living apostle. And so he just cuts to the chase once again in chapter 5 by sharing, as I read through it, really just the simplicity of the gospel. Those who had been led astray by the false teachers of his day had complicated the simple message of salvation, and they had moved away from the essentials of the faith. And so John is reiterating the simplicity of salvation here. He's essentially saying, church, listen, this is not rocket science. You don't have to complicate this thing to where it absolutely blows your mind. If you're following a teacher who is making you jump through hoops to get to Jesus, he says, you're headed in the wrong direction. If you're following a gospel that puts the burden of salvation on your shoulders and takes it off the cross, you'll find your faith to be more of a burden than a blessing. If you're following a teaching that uses the grace of God as a license to live the way you want to live, you'll find no joy in Jesus. As John begins to conclude this letter, he shares with us the essence, the simplicity of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I'm convinced that we tend to overcomplicate it many times. And I would include myself in that analysis. I think we tend to overthink this precious gift of salvation instead of just believing it and receiving it and allowing the Son of God to live in and through us. We either try to do too much to help God out, or we do nothing at all. If you've got your Bibles with you, turn with me to 1 John chapter 5, 11 and 12. I would tell you to follow along on the screen if you don't, but not today. 1 John chapter 5, beginning a little bit into verse 4. Beginning in verse 11. John says this. He says, listen to the simplicity of this. Just the clarity of this. God has given us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. God has given us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. Now listen to this. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son does not have life. Can you be any clearer than that? That is the clarion call of the gospel right there. And in his elderly place, John had come to a place where, look, I'm not overcomplicating this stuff anymore. I'm tired of running circles around it. I'm just going to tell you how it is. He who has Jesus has life. He who does not have Jesus does not have life. Truth. 2 weeks ago, I sat by my mom's bedside in the hospital. And I held her hand and I rubbed her head as she took her last breath. In that moment, let me tell you something. That's the only truth that matters. Do you hear me? In that moment, and until you've been to that moment, and I've been there countless times with people, until you've been in that moment, you don't realize that this is the only truth that matters. Will you see that person again? Will they spend an eternity with a God who created them and loves them beyond measure, who sent His own Son to this earth to die on a cross to pay the penalty for their sin that they might be reconciled to Him? This is the only truth that matters. It's a big old Bible. I preach something in it every single Sunday. But I'm telling you, at the end of the day and at the end of every one of those sermons, this is the only truth that matters. There is no life outside of Jesus Christ. And you may be here today, man, you know, I've been kind of skirting the edges of this thing, or I've been overcomplicating it, or I've been overthinking it, or I've been looking at church as this kind of thing, and that's what I'm not into it, and pushing me away from Jesus. What? I don't care about any of that. This is the only truth that matters. And if you want to spend an eternity with God the Father, if you want to live out God's plan for your life, not just here, but forevermore, man, our time here is just a blip on the radar screen. Boom. Sometimes it feels like an eternity to us, but it's just a blip on the screen. Life is found in Christ, in Christ alone. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and what? The life. Man, the craziness of what some of these folks teach, and we've been talking about that through the course of this series. The complexities and the intricacies of obscure doctrine that well-meaning Christians argue about all the time, which causes divisions in the church, causes divisions throughout Christendom. None of that matters in that moment. I mean, it pales in comparison. We want to be doctrinally pure. We want to be true to all that God is teaching us here. But man, love has got to prevail. Grace has got to prevail. Because it's love and it's grace that prevailed that's leading us home to Him. And we must always allow it to do so as we teach and as we walk through the Scripture. All that matters is whether or not you have by faith surrendered your life to Jesus Christ. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son does not have life. That is the essence of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That is the simplicity of salvation. Trusting that Jesus alone has completely paid the price for your sin and paved the way for an eternity with Him. There's absolutely nothing we can do in and of ourselves to add to the work of Jesus on the cross. There's nothing we can do to enhance His resurrection. It is finished. He who has the Son has life. And so this morning I want to talk very quickly about the simple life. That's the name of today's message. The simple life. How many of you want to live a simple life? How many of you's lives have gotten too complicated from time to time and you just get weary of it? Yeah, absolutely. I think we long for the simple life, but we have a tendency, and I include myself in that, to complicate our lives. And most of the time it's because we're focused on the wrong things. We're focused on the things of this world instead of the things of God. We're focused on the things we want instead of the things God wants for us. And so I want to talk about the simple life, and I want to talk about three components of it that John shares with us here at the beginning of chapter 5. Number one, the simple life is a life of faith. It's a life of faith. In verse 1, John says, everyone who believes, a lot of times that word, even the word faith, the word believes, we hear it so much in church that it can go in one ear and out the other, and we don't grab the heart and the substance of it and the simplicity of it. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. That means your spirit, the part of you that is created in the image of God, the Imago Dei, okay? We're all created in the image of God. But upon the sin of Adam and Eve in the garden and following the fall therein when they disobeyed God, our spirits died within us. We were dead in our sins and trespasses, completely dead. The inner man, the inner person, dead when we come into this world. And when we are born of God, when we receive Christ and we receive all the life of the resurrection, the Bible tells us that our spirit is regenerated. That means it is brought back to life in the same way that Jesus was brought back to life. And we are alive again to God. And that part of us that is created in the image of God is reconnected to the one who created it. That's what Christ has done for us. That's what salvation truly is. Faith is the one absolute essential for salvation. It's the first button in the first buttonhole. And if you miss that buttonhole, man, things are just going to be all cattywampus. You got to first have faith. Without faith, Hebrews tells us it's impossible to do what? Please God. Without faith, it is not kind of not likely, you know, you're going to please it. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. The simple life is a life of faith. Man, trying to do life on your own, I did that for 26 years, wore myself out and made a mess of my life. Trusting yourself to make every decision. Trusting yourself to stand under the pressures of life. And ultimately, you're going to run out of gas and you're going to run out of what it takes to sustain yourself. That's where I found myself 28 years ago, 26 years ago. I had run out of myself. I couldn't do it anymore. And God brought me to the place of surrender, where I was willing to say, God, I give you my life and I trust you with it. I don't know exactly what that looks like, but I've made such a mess of mine, I'm sure you can do a better job. Some of you might be there this morning. And we were made for a relationship with God. And God has made a way for us to be in that relationship. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, a verse that many of you are probably familiar with. The Apostle Paul put it this way. He said, for it is by grace you have been saved. Through what? Faith. It is by grace, this unmerited favor of God, this gift of God. It is by grace that you have been saved. In other words, that you've been reconciled into a relationship with God the Father through faith. And this is not from yourselves. You didn't create this thing. You didn't make this happen. It is the gift of God, not by works. That's where so many get it wrong. That's where the guilt comes in. I'm not doing enough. I can't do it enough for God. God's not pleased with me. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Not without works. So that no one can boast. Salvation comes by grace through faith. A gift that we simply believe and receive. Romans 10:9 says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. The simplicity of salvation. The simplicity of the gospel. That's how simple it is. But some people, many people, cannot take that leap. They cannot step off that cliff of themselves and take that leap of faith. They cannot be sure of something they hope for and certain of something they cannot see, which is the definition of faith that we find in Hebrews. They cannot walk by faith, only by sight. And in doing so, they become prisoners to themselves. Faith requires surrender. It requires us to come to the end of ourselves. It requires us to lay down our own lives and invite Jesus to pick them up again. The simple life is a life of faith. It's also a life of following. A life of following. John says in verse 3 and 4, he says, this is love for God. I said, well, gosh, I don't know how to love God. I don't know what I should do to love God. I mean, what does that look like? Man, he's so simple. He says, this is love for God, to obey his commands. And his commands are not burdensome, John says, for everyone born of God overcomes the world. Jesus said, when he was on this earth and in his ministry, he said, he who has my commands and obeys them, he's the one who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father. And Jesus said, and I too will love him, and I will show myself to them. He who has my commands and does what? Obeys them. He's the one who loves me. The simple life is a life of following. It's a life of obedience. You know, a lot of people think, if I follow Jesus, I'm going to miss out on so much. How many of you been there? Man, I won't be able to do this, 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 and this. So many things I won't be able to do. The party's going to go on without me. Let me tell you something. If God says don't do it, you're not missing out on a thing. How many of you figured that out? If God says don't do it, you're not missing out on a thing. Everything God gives us, every command God gives us in the Scripture, and I tried to teach my kids this as they were growing up and continue to. Every command, everything that God tells you to do in the Scripture, everything he tells you not to do in the Scripture, is for your protection and your provision. Not so you won't have any fun. It's to protect you and to provide for you. It is for your ultimate good. Jesus said this. He said, in this world, you're going to have trouble. It's going to get complicated. But take heart, he said. I've overcome the world. I've overcome the world. John goes on to tell us in verse 4 and 5. He says, this is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world? Only he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. How do we find peace in the midst of the trouble here? And we believe. We have faith and we follow the truth that God has laid out for us in the Scripture. You say, man, Phil, that just sounds too easy. And that's just too simple. It's not complicated. We just have a great deal of difficulty pulling it off. Because we want to get in the mix. Everything else that we do in our lives requires our performance. From kindergarten to getting a gold star, to working real hard to get the raise, to saving as much as you can to be able to retire. Everything's about us performing to get a reward. And God just turns that upside down and he says, this is a gift for you. Because I love you. And I want to spend an eternity with you. We believe and we follow by faith the truth laid out for us. We trust Jesus and we seek to live the way he lived and to love the way he loved. To follow in his footsteps. We look to him when life overwhelms us. Not to a cold religion, but to a soothing Savior. Man, I don't know what I'd have done this week without Jesus. I don't know how people do it. I'll be honest with you. Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. And when we follow him, that leads us to a life of fullness. So the simple life is a life of faith, it's a life of following, and it's a life of fullness. Regardless of your circumstances. That's the beauty of it. Christ in you, the hope of glory, is unchanging. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. We can rejoice even in the face of death. And we do. Even when we lose those we love. Because in Christ, we have and they have overcome this world. They've overcome sin, death, and the grave. And in his gospel, John reminds us of these words of Jesus. John 10:10, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. The prince of this world, our enemy, Satan, comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and have it to the full. The Greek word for life there is the word zoe, zoe. And it literally means a fullness of life, a completeness of life, both now and for all eternity. And when we by faith step into a relationship with Jesus, when we look to Him, when we follow Him regardless of our circumstances, then we find that joy. And I can testify to it. We find that fullness. We find the life that God intended for us to live from the very beginning. That's what Jesus has restored in us and will one day restore fully for us. What do you need to focus on the most this morning? Your faith or your following? John simplifies it for us. And he reminds us that the simple life begins and ends with trust. Trust in the person and trust in the work of Jesus Christ. He who has the Son has life. And he who does not have the Son does not have life. Do you have the Son? That's where it lands this morning. Do you know Jesus? Are you experiencing the fullness and the abundance of the life that only He can bring? Let's bow our heads. Father, thank You for Your grace. I thank You that it is sufficient for our every need. I pray, Lord, You would help us to receive the simplicity of the gospel, the simplicity of salvation. Lord, help us to open our lives, to open our hearts to the gift that You're offering us in Jesus. And Lord, for those who've received that gift and are walking in it today, Lord, I pray that You would just help us to be better followers of Yours. Lord, You would help us to trust You more. You would help us, Father, to demonstrate the love to others that Christ has demonstrated to us. You'd help us to be the people that You created us to be. And God, on this Sunday morning, this 4th of July, as we begin to celebrate our independence this week, I thank You for freedom. I thank You that You have set us free in Christ to be the people that You intend for us to be. Lord, may we be that. And I pray that prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.